everybody. It's 5:30 in the morning. This is one of the beauties of travel. It's like you go to the airport at 5:30 in the morning, and here's the thing. You get a plane ticket, 8:05. I've talked about this before. I probably don't need to do this again, but I'm going to. You go to the airport for a flight at 8:05 a.m. And that doesn't sound bad, because you're like, ah, I work at 8 a.m. like every week, so that's fine. But then you start doing the math and you count backwards from how long you're supposed to be there, like 2 hours before your flight. You're supposed to, it takes an hour and a half to get there. This is all how things are supposed to go if things go correctly. And suddenly you're waking up at 4:30 in the morning. And you're like, that is not cool. That is not natural. But I have hopes that the flight will be, like, fairly sedate. It's also Super Bowl Sunday. So I don't know what that means for air travel today. At first I was like, maybe it'll be really slow, because I think everything is slow on Super Bowl Sunday. But then I was like, probably not. Because I always think, like, the library is going to be real slow on Super Bowl Sunday, and it's really not. Which I shouldn't be surprised by, because, you know, to put it accurately, sorry, I have to crank up the heat because my window's frosting over at an alarming pace that my heater is not keeping up with. I always think it's going to be real dead at the library, but it's not, because this may come as a terrible shock to you. Library and Super Bowl audience. Not a total crossover. Not a total, not like, if those Venn diagrams exist, it's not just one circle where you're like, oh yeah, there is a small part where these don't overlap. It's the opposite of that. It's two circles that you're like, are those touching? I'm not sure if those are touching. It's like, if you suspected, at a middle school dance that a couple was a little too close. And you're like, is this too close? I don't know. It's hard to call. I feel uncomfortable making this decision about middle schoolers. So I guess since I'm on the way, since it's so early, I decided to be a crankster today. I wanted to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart, but also not near or dear to my heart. It's both. And it's deers. No, it's not deers. Isn't it funny? We're like, deer to my heart. And then, do we care about deer, really? I don't think we do. I'll tell you how I got into this idea this morning. So, yesterday I read this comic book, America. It's about America Chavez, who's like a Latinx. I don't know how you say that out loud. Latinx, Latinx, whatever, superhero, you know, who's described by the writer as queer and Latina, Latinx. I don't know how you say that, but whatever. And so I read this comic, and it was bad. I mean, it's not good. I bought it digitally. I paid the $10. I read it. It was out of curiosity, because I was like, I don't know, maybe it'll be good. And it was really bad. And there were some interesting aspects about it. Because it definitely was being overtly political, which was fine. Like, I didn't have a problem with that, and I don't have a problem with those politics. And, okay, here's something I thought was weird that I left out of my review, though. She's Latinx. I'm going to keep saying this wrong, so I'm going to call her Latina for now, okay? Because this isn't an actual person, so whatever. She's Latina, and let's say this. I pronounce L-A-T-I-N-X as Latina, but I'm saying that X. So she's Latina, but then I found out through the course of reading this, and then I had to get on, like, Wikipedia and stuff, because I was like, what the fuck is going on? So she's born of two moms. you know, which also makes her different. But her moms are not Earthlings, and she was born out of a ball of pure energy. Like, she doesn't have a father. So she's not an Earthling, and she's not human. And so then her moms died, and she came to Earth. And, you know, she looks like a brown girl, so she was living in Latin America, I guess. Doesn't specify. It just kind of says, like, I lived in places where a brown girl would kind of go unnoticed or whatever. But so then I started thinking, like, and she did this by her own choice and her own volition when she was, I don't know, it looked, in the pictures, it looked like she was 5 to 10. I mean, it's hard to tell from comic book art, right? And, like, one panel of comic book art, but 5 to 10, let's say. And here's the thing. She's alien 5 to 10. So does alien 5 to 10 equal the same thing as human 5 to 10? I don't know. But then also, if she's 5 to 10 and she's living in these countries by choice because that's where she's accepted, is she really Latina? I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't even know how to untangle that, really. Because I'm like, well, what's the difference between that and then, you know, someone being raised in one culture but not being of that culture? You know what I mean? It's strange. And I guess, you know, she looks Latina, and she was, to some extent, raised Latina, but I don't know. But she's not an Earthling. So I guess it's kind of like saying, is Superman white? And it's like, yes, because he passes for white, but no, because he's not human, and that means he doesn't have the same problems or issues as a human, right? I mean, he doesn't... I don't know. If you can see through walls and you were an alien... And it's also, I guess I feel it's a little different because he was raised from a infancy, right? Like, he didn't even know, in most origins of Superman, he didn't know that he wasn't born in Kansas, Earth. Kansas, United States, Earth. Smallville, Kansas, United States, Earth. So he doesn't know that, right? Like, and he had no agency in where he was going or what was happening. Like, it's not like he chose. And she had, like, a choice to an extent, it seems. I don't know. Anyway, this was a confusing aspect of it for me, but I decided to not think about it that much because basically, it wasn't such a good book that it warranted a lot of consideration in my mind. It wasn't something I wanted to spend a lot of time on. That's a horrible thing to say, but... there you go. But it got me thinking because, you know, I was reading some articles about it because I was like, is this series still running or not? And it's kind of always on the verge of cancellation. And, you know, you can read the review I did about it on Goodreads or on the website. But a lot of the people talking about it were talking about this thing that Marvel has, right, where everyone's like... A lot of people who comment on Marvel stuff take one of two sides. There's the side of, okay, Marvel is tanking because all their stuff is political now, and people don't want that. And then there's the other side, which is everything is political. And I think that, you know, and that's been presented oftentimes as, duh, everything's political, and if you don't think that, it's probably because you're, like, this super privileged person, and so you don't see it, but everyone else does. And I'd been thinking for a while about writing this thing, this Devil's Advocate book, right, with essays regarding topics that I feel differently on than other people. And one of those topics was, is all art political? Because I say no. But I say no, not, and I don't think it's because I'm saying, I guess I just said there are these two camps regarding Marvel Comics, right? I don't agree with either camp. I don't agree with all art is political, but I don't agree with the camp either that's like, this is tanking because it's political. I mean, if we don't have to get into that, into comics too much, because this isn't the podcast Pete's doing specifically for Alex Dunbar. I just think Marvel is not doing great because, not because they're doing political stuff, but a lot of the comics they've done that represent diversity are of mixed quality. Some are really good and some are not good, which is the case with all comics, right? Some are good, some are not good. But I just think that, like, sometimes they're making this big push for these comics, but they don't really turn out that great. And so then people don't stick with them. I think, you know, there are exceptions. Like, I think Ms. Marvel's pretty good, and I think that people come out for Ms. Marvel. But I think America's not that good. And then when it gets canned, people are going to be pissed. But I don't know how to respond to that as Marvel, because then they're like, you canceled your only queer Latinx title. And it's like, yeah, but no one was buying it. I mean, nobody was buying it. And it wasn't good. I mean, that's not a good book. So is all art political? Or why do I think all art is not political? And this is kind of weird and kind of why I wanted to do this on here, because I feel like part of the problem I'm having with this sort of devil's advocate idea is it's a one-way discussion every time, right? It's just me saying what I think, and people can't really say anything in opposition, because how would you? So I don't know. I guess email me or something, but whatever. Okay, let me just start with this. I think it's one of the things is I have this sort of, because I'm a resistant person by nature in some ways, I think whenever something becomes an old saw, I just am like naturally opposed to it. I'm not going to like that. I'm going to be pissed off about, not pissed off, I'm just going to be against that. I'm always against when I see something as being the sort of like the common wisdom. And I don't care for the common wisdom a lot of the times. So I think all art is political has definitely become a piece of the common wisdom. It's definitely become one of these things that people say, and then you can kind of just say it, but you don't have to back it up with anything. You don't have to justify it. You don't have to explain what that means to you, right? So that's number one. That's kind of what got me down the road a little bit in general. But I think that there's more to it. And so part of it, too, is I think it's always a bad idea to make a... Well, I just said always, but I think it's a bad idea in general to make a statement that all of this is that, or this is always that, unless you're really, really sure about it. The reason being, because if you say all art is political, all it takes is one example of apolitical art to bring your entire statement into question. So, I mean, I'd be more apt to listen to a statement like, lots of art is political in ways that the creator may not have intended or that isn't immediately apparent. I would say, yeah, that's a pretty fair statement. But that's not what people say, because that's not sexy. That's not exciting. I hate when people describe things like that as sexy, by the way. All right, give me an idea and make it sexy. When someone says, art may be political in ways the creator hasn't expected, I don't get chubbed. But when someone says, all art is political, huge boner. Huge being a relative term. Huge, yeah, anyway. I just think that, I think it's a mistake to say it that way. I think it's a more powerful statement right off, but it does not live up to scrutiny. So let's talk about this too. I think the statement "all art is political" obviously depends heavily on your definition of political. Now, if we're going to say basically anything you create is a product of you, and you are a product of politics, and therefore all art is political, I can see where that, I can see where we're going with that. But my argument against that is, then what is the useful definition of things being political or not political? Because literally everything is political, if we're going to get that broad. And then politics really has no meaning, or the word political has no meaning, because there's nothing that doesn't fit into that. I mean, that gets, you can get so micro into that, like, that if that's how it works. Yesterday, I touched up a wall at work, like paint. Right? And it's like, okay, we have these directors coming to tour the libraries. We've got this spot that just needs a touch up. And, you know, I found the stuff to do it. I was like, it would take me 10 minutes. I read up online and it was like, add 10% water to this type of paint in order to make it look a little aged like the other paint. And I'm like, I think I can handle this. I painted the wall. I blended in with this sort of cloth, kind of tried to blend it with the surrounding area. I think it's totally passable job and whatever. Now, if everything is political, what I did there was a political act. And I could see that, because it's like, okay, well, what you did was political because you painted the wall because these directors are coming, but you didn't paint it because you weren't motivated to do it for the everyday person who came in. Which I would be like, yeah, it's true. I mean, I was willing to wait for maintenance to do it for everyone, but not for the directors, right? Or one could say, well, that was a political act because you were performing a job function that's not part of your normal job and is like seen as a more menial task, right? A maintenance task. And I could say, that's also true. But if we're going to get that broad, then literally everything you do is political. And so I guess for me, a more useful definition of political is when it's something that is more political than it is something else. So in other words, it's got to have like a decently heavy political element to it. Because I mean, that's kind of like saying everything's biological. Because I have to breathe to live, and I have to breathe in order to create things. So therefore, everything is a product of my breath. And that's true. That's not untrue, but what's the use of saying that? Like, what does that, what's the useful statement that's made there? You know, what's the sort of end game of that statement? I don't know. And I don't know that there is one. And I think that's why I don't love that idea. So I guess in my definition of things, the spectrum of what is political is a little bit more limited. But you know, we'll get into that a little more. I think it also kind of does this thing where it assumes that, I think when we say all art is political, and it's because it's created by a person, and a person is a product of politics, I think it assumes that people make things that are always, whether they know it or not, consciously or subconsciously, leaned their own political way. So in other words, it doesn't really leave room for somebody to write. You know, if Gary Trudeau is writing political cartoons about Trump, right? And if he's showing Trump accurately or not, then whatever. Or I would say a great example, there's the Oliver Stone movie W about George W. Bush, which was really good. Like, I saw it and I thought it was really a good movie and the actors in it were good. Tandy Newton, I don't remember Condoleezza Rice sounding like that. She was like, I think they gave her some kind of weird dentures or something because she just sounded very strange and a little cartoonish. But a lot of the actors were really good, right? I think Richard Dreyfuss was, Jesus, why can't I remember Dick Cheney? Why, when I was trying to think of Dick Cheney, was I thinking Carl Malone? You know, George W. Bush's vice president, the mailman, Carl Malone. Sometimes the world that you make by mistake is so much more entertaining than the world. You know what I mean? It's like, why can't I live in the world that I, as I've imagined it by accident rather than the one we live in? That would be great. Remember when George W. Bush's vice president was announced to the shock of everyone and he's like, it's Carl Malone. So W. Really good movie. Lots of good acting in there. But people didn't like it and people complained about it because it made George W. Bush a sympathetic character. And I think that people felt that because he was so basically globally harmful and such a bad president, I mean, before this president, a lot of people thought he would go down in history as the worst president ever. I still think he might, because to be honest with you, like, viewed 100 years from now, I mean, he's responsible for a lot of dead people. I mean, he initiated some global conflict that is still happening now. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people in Afghanistan and Iraq who are dead because of stuff he initiated, and there's a lot of Americans who are dead too. Anyway, that's off topic. My point there, though, is that I think he was trying to tell a story as it happened, as opposed to making a political point there. I think he was almost trying to tell the apolitical story of an extremely political story, which is the story of our president. And he was trying to do that. He was just trying to tell the story accurately and in an interesting way, rather than, you know, he wasn't trying to take him to school. He wasn't trying to, like, basically make the president pay for his sins or, like, do an expose on the president. Oh, my God. Don't you hate when a semi is trying to pass somebody? Because you're like, come on, man. You're not passing anybody. And I really think that's why people hated it. And also, I think much like George Bush will be viewed differently than Donald Trump in like 100 years. I think that movie, I bet if people watched it now, they would have a different opinion on it. I think a lot of people would see it as like more interesting or better than they did. And I think the reason for that is because we've gotten enough distance from his presidency to sort of see this product as something. It's definitely not endorsing of him. At worst, I think the worst critique people could make of it is, like, it seems to excuse some of his action, right? It seems to kind of say, well, he was out of his depth. He didn't know what he was doing. But, you know, that's the fact of the matter. That's what happened. I mean, whatever. So this is also part of the problem, is I think that if all art is political, it kind of lays intent on top of an artist that may or may not be there. And it lays intent on a piece of art that might not be accurate. Because if we're saying all art is political because it's informed by the politics that you've sort of absorbed in your life and that you can't help but have subconsciously, that means that you can't create something that's consciously outside of your normal politics. You know, you can't create something different than your politics because your politics is ingrained in who you are. That's like me trying to create something, you know, that doesn't have my breath in it. And it's like, yeah, you can't, because that's just who you are. So I think that part of it is kind of problematic. One of the classic examples, to go back to comics, of art and politics and stuff has been Captain America. Because, you know, everyone's like, Captain America punched a Nazi. And that was like a good version of... that was a way people said, like, it's okay to punch Richard Spencer. Which, you know, so they... America punches Hitler in the comics as well. Which I was like, I hated it. Not because she punched Hitler, but because it was obviously making a point about punching a Nazi, right? And it was obviously commenting on today. But I'm like, listen, I feel like there's a difference between saying it's okay to punch a Nazi who's on the street talking to a camera when the Nazis are not in power and blah, 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 and it's okay to punch Adolf Hitler on a battlefield. I just feel like those are two different things. And so it kind of weakens the statement to say, oh, well, we're talking about actual Hitler this time, right? I just feel like it's different. But that's neither here nor there. People have said, you know, well, Captain America punches Nazis, so it's okay. Which I'm like, well, Captain America is a fictional character, number one, and Captain America punched Adolf Hitler. So let's not say he punched Nazis. Let's say he punched the Nazi. I mean, we talk about Nazi poster child. He's not even the poster child. There would be no poster child without this dude, right? However, sorry, there's like a purple greenhouse out here. It's cool. It's pretty cool looking. It's like lit up in the dark, like a rainbow in the dark. But, you know, just one end of the rainbow, the biv, the v of the Roy G. Biv. So here's the thing, though. Okay, all art is political, and it's like, see, Captain America punched a Nazi. Or, like, right now there's this story in comics of Captain America being a Nazi, which is not totally true, but that's... You got to get into all this comics lore to talk about it, and also... Well, okay, real quick. I think people are getting real up in arms about this shit, because it's like, I can't believe they made Captain America a Nazi. Well, this is obviously a bad thing, and this is obviously a situation he has to get out of. And it's kind of like, you know, I mean, they just did a story where Batman was traveling through time. And it's like, I can't believe you made Batman travel through time. And it's like, yeah, I don't think that this means the writer endorses time travel. It just means that they're saying, like, here's a bad situation he's in, and now he's got to get out of it. I mean, Captain America is being manipulated by the Cosmic Cube, which is this all-powerful object, by the Red Skull, who is, like, his arch-nemesis. So there you go. It's kind of, to me, it's setting up for the ultimate redemption. Because Captain America, we're going to find out, like, what is essential about Captain America. Anyway, people will say, so, you know, Captain America, always political. Art is political. To which I say, do you guys remember in the 90s when there was like a year where Captain America was a werewolf? Cap Wolf? Peter remembers. Pepperidge Farm remembers. I do remember that. And so I do wonder, like, what the politics of that is. And while somebody is probably able to explain, if they were to look through it and do, like, literary analysis on it, I'm sure they could explain to me why this is political. They'd be like, well, the werewolf represents this and da-da-da-da. But I'm like, all right, I feel like you're stretching. I feel like you're stretching to make this point, when maybe instead of stretching to make the point, you should just... Maybe you should consider revising your point. Like, maybe you should consider... Maybe not all art is political. And, like, Captain America stories can be political one day and not political the next day. Or, you know, is Captain America werewolf political in a way? And it's like, I mean, I guess he's still wearing red, white, and blue, right? But is it more political than it is just stupid and kind of a thing? I think that's, like, the real question here is, like, is it more political than it is something else? And I don't think so. Like, I don't think it is. I think it's more something else than it is political. Is Twilight political? If you want to look at it that way, totally. Because it kind of reaffirms these sort of Christian-y values in a lot of ways, right? Don't have sex until you get married. Have a baby with somebody. So on and so forth. You know, and the whole idea of a vampire is political because it's about Puritan values and da-da-da-da. But is Twilight more political than it is just the stupid vampire romance? I kind of don't think so. I mean, I think you can look for that and I think you can find it. And this is kind of how I feel about this, too. If you're looking for something, you're going to find it. And, like, here's a definition of that that I go with a lot. If you are dating somebody and you look through their browser history because you're on an expedition, you're not looking for something specific, right? You're not looking to see, I told him that I didn't want him to talk to so-and-so online, that makes me uncomfortable. So I'm checking if that's happening. But if you're just instead going on an expedition with an unknown, unspecified goal, you're just kind of saying, I'm just going to see what they're doing and see if I find anything objectionable, I'm of the opinion that you are going to find it. Like, if you go out looking for something without a definition, a strong definition of what that something is, I think you'll find something that fits your definition. It's kind of the, it's like a confirmation bias thing, right? You think something, and so you have this theory, and you go out to find evidence, but you go out with the purpose of proving your theory correct. Not with the idea of, well, I'm going to see if this bears out or not. And the other thing is you don't really spend a lot of time looking to evidence of the contrary. So you find something you don't like in the browser history, but what you then ignore is like, hey, here are 10 websites he went to find a recipe that, you know, he made that food the other night, right? Here are 10 websites he went to. Here's a bunch of browsing he did to find, you know, something to do on date night that we would both like. Oh, here's where he was browsing looking for a Valentine's Day gift, right? So we ignore all that because that doesn't play into the theory of I think this person's doing something wrong. And if we ignore all that because then what we're saying is like if I find one piece of something wrong, it doesn't really matter if there are 500 things that are great, you know, that are very generous and kind in some way. It's just like, well, I found these things that are wrong and that's really all I care about. So I think that that's part of the problem, too, is, like, if you... I've been in enough English classes to know that, like, hey, if you wanna take any story and figure out what the... which of the parents the main character wants to have sex with, you can do that. You can easily do that. You can be like, oh, this is obviously this character's father who they want to have sex with, or, like, this is the mom and Oedipus complex and all that. And I get that, but I think that this is just thinking that results from people getting used to the idea of, I gotta write a paper about this. So what can I do that's like open enough to interpretation to write an entire paper about, and there's enough in there that I could interpret, but also isn't obvious, right? And I guess it's just sort of like, it's odd to me that we spend a lot of time interpreting things in ways that we pretty much know to be incorrect or not incorrect, but not correct. I mean, we know that this story was not overtly about a child having sex with their parents, right? And then we implant that on the story. I think that, like, saying that all art is political is also a way of sort of taking the power away from creators. Because I think that basically, it's whenever I see a way that someone is saying, this creator didn't really do this thing was sort of done for them, I cringe a little bit. Like, I feel that that's wrong. I feel that somebody is saying something incorrect. And I think it bothers me because I would like people to try and make something and see how much work it is and how difficult it is and how much skill it requires to do well, and say that, like, there are parts of this that are automatic, that are outside the creator's control. Because I don't really buy it. Like, I don't see it in action a whole lot. I don't see it as something that seems to affect a lot. So I think that's kind of a weird thing to do, and I think it's kind of a harmful thing to do, to say, to sort of take that agency away from creators. Because the thing is, the ultimate thing is, I think that all art can be political on the consumer end. Because here's the other thing. If all art is created and is political once it's created, then obviously all art is consumed politically, right? So there's two layers of politics there, if we assume that this hypothesis is true. There's the creation of the art, which is political, but then there's the consumption of the art, which is also political, because you, just like the artist, have your own politics, your own ideas about things, and cannot escape them. So I think that that's kind of an interesting wrinkle to it, that one would almost necessarily have to agree with. And then, but if all art is consumed politically and created politically, which parts belong to which person? So in other words, if I see this in a piece, is that in the piece, or is that what I'm assuming? And I think, here's another thing. And, like, I think it gets into the issue of creator versus consumer. If I gave you three pieces of art, I had three individuals write a story about something, and then I showed you the individuals, and it's like a white dude, a black woman, and a Latinx superhero who was born on another planet. And they both wrote a short story. What you're kind of assuming there is that you would probably be able to tell whose story was whose based on those demographics, right? Because if you can't escape your politics, or if all art is political, then that would bear out. And if that's true, then you could also have those same individuals. Let's say I had those individuals write a short story, and then I told you which one was which, right? So you know, okay, this white dude wrote, you know, an old man in the sea knockoff or whatever. And then I had each of them do another piece of art. Now, this was a freehand drawing, and they all had to draw a pickup truck. Again, all art is political. We would be able to tell something, and we would be able to tell who did what, right? Or let's get away from demographics. Let's just say we had, like, a Democrat, a Republican, and an Independent. Would we be able to tell by their drawing of a pickup truck who did which one? Because I think the theory that all art is political would say, yes, of course we would. Because their politics infect what they do. You know, the Republican would draw a heroic-looking pickup truck. The Democrat would draw a smaller Toyota Tundra type pickup truck, practical, and the Independent would draw, you know, a hybrid pickup truck, or a pickup truck that's sitting in the middle of a wasteland because it's the apocalypse because we used all the gas, right? I just don't buy that. I don't buy that. And I think that, I think that's the thing, is like, if we couldn't reverse engineer it, if we couldn't look at the product and then determine the politics, then is art political in any sort of reliable way? Like, is it political in such a way that we know the politics? You know, I think that the guy that I've been seeing every week, Chuck Palahniuk, I think when Fight Club came out, that people, I think people would have been surprised to discover he was gay. I think at that time, the way the climate was, the way that people thought about gay people and gay men especially, they would have been like, this is way too testosterone filled of a book to be written by a gay man. Now I think we look at it and it seems very obvious. It seems like, oh yeah, well this is about, you know, male intimacy and da 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 da. But I think it's very interesting how at one time we would have said, oh no, there's no way he's gay because look at this text. And now we would say, there's no way he's not gay because look at this text. And so the text created doesn't match up with the theory that of the politics, right? Because there are different politics at play depending on who's looking at it and what their interpretation is of it. And, you know, what sticks out about it to them. One person reads Fight Club and this is significant. One person reads Fight Club and that's significant, right? It depends on who's reading it and where they're coming at it from the consumption angle. I guess, you know, I just think too that there's a lot of I think part of why I'd like to encourage everyone to consider that things are not all political, because I'd like to have people consider there's a lot that is political. Like, if you're looking for politics, you can find it, right? I don't think there's any shortage of political news. I don't think there's any shortage of political discussion. I don't think there's any shortage of political discourse. Rational political discourse? Totally. But is there such a dearth of political material that we need to find it that way? I'll give you an example. Like, let's go back to vampires, right? So I think vampires, there's a lot of theories that vampires exist because it's got to do with sex, right? A man comes into a woman's bedroom at night and sort of deflowers her in some way, and then she's changed after that. And there's a lot of theories that this sort of myth exists because you couldn't just overtly write about that back in the day. You know, when Bram Stoker wrote Dracula, or when there's some, I think it was a lady wrote a sort of vampire book that preceded Dracula. I can't remember what it's called. But the point is, you couldn't just write about these things overtly. And that's kind of the idea. I don't think we're in that zone anymore. Like, I don't think we're in this zone anymore where you cannot write about things like sex or the politics of, you know, working from the home or being a homemaker or whatever. Like, I think you can write about those things either overtly or not, but that option is open now. And so sometimes I do think that people write about things that are not overtly political because they're not really writing about the politics of something. I also think that part of it too is that if everything is political, I think that kind of lays on this idea of the political interpretation of something is the most interesting and useful interpretation of that thing. And I think that we do a disservice when we assume that. Because I think sometimes that's very true. I'll give you an example. James Patterson is collaborating on a book with Bill Clinton. And the, you know, it's called, like, The President is Missing or something, which I'm like, is this like the Mario book or game Mario's Missing? But it's like, yeah, I mean, it's going to be pretty tough for that to not have any politics in it, right? And by pretty tough, I mean basically impossible. And that book's being sold on the political nature, and it's being sold on the politics and the political nature of the creator. I mean, Bill Clinton, right? So that's obviously political, and I do think one of the more interesting interpretations of that material is going to be, how do Bill Clinton's politics, how does his presidency, how do these things affect the final product of the book? And, like, how do they play out in the book? That's a totally useful and totally interesting way to look at that book. Do I think that looking at the politics of everything is the most useful? I don't. I mean, I really don't. I think that... for some people, certain things are political, and for some people, they're not. And I'll give you an example, too. I'll go back to my friend Chuck Palahniuk, who I'm calling my friend ironically. I'm not like, my good friend and buddy. He gave an interview where he was talking about, you know, an interviewer asked him a question like, how would you do this if you did it again? And he's like, oh, I would do it like... the Hunger Games person, Suzanne Collins. And he's like, I would write under a pen name, no interviews, no author photo, none of that stuff. And the guy was like, really? And he's like, yeah, I just kind of want the work to stand on its own. And I think this is a really common thing amongst creators, especially successful ones, is they always question how things like politics fed into what they were doing. You know, did the politics of the time, did the whatever of the time, did the cult of personality around somebody kind of create this? Or was it the work? And I think he's an interesting character in this, because he was always sort of defying the expectation. I mean, he would read this story, Guts, right, about this guy whose intestines are being sucked out by a pool drain. But he shows up to readings, he's, like, very tidy, very well-dressed. You know, at that time, he had a very conservative, you know, haircut, all that. I mean, he looked like a bookworm. Just kind of some nerd, very nondescript, right? Which isn't what you expect. You expect this sort of punk poet preacher guy. And he wasn't that at all. And I don't think he was necessarily trying to defy the expectation of him. I think that's part of who he is, too. I think he's this very polite guy. I think he believes in, you know, when he goes to do a reading, he feels that, like, people have paid, and he's sort of throwing a party, and he's not going to show up to a party in his sweats, and he's not going to... People come to see him, they don't come to see some... celebrity version of a person. I think there's an authenticity there that's really appealing. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what other people think. But here's the thing. I would just invite you to reconsider the idea that all art is political. And I think really the primary thing there is... If you want to say everything is political, that's fine. And also, as a note, I want to invite everyone to... not invite everyone to. I want to reassure everybody that you can, of course, make overtly political art. Like, I'm not trying to take that away from anybody. But, you know, so if you can make overtly political art, I think we should leave the door open to also creating not... overtly political art. Or, you know, not art that's not really intended to be interpreted politically. And there will be exceptions to that, of course, right? There will be things that are interpreted politically, and they should be. Because, you know, the author is not self-aware or kind of tripped into something that maybe they didn't fully intend. So I think that door is wide open. And maybe here on at the end, we've sort of stumbled on what we're looking for, right? We sort of stumbled into, like, I'm looking for a definition that's open. That's open to things that are political and things that aren't. Oops. I'm looking for a definition of art that doesn't close a door. And that's the real thing for me that maybe we've talked our way into over the last hour or whatever, which is kind of awesome. Because I feel like I usually do these and don't really, I'm just like, I don't know, whatever, I don't know. But I kind of feel like what we've hit on, or where I've wound up here, is that I feel, I'm expressing what I feel, which is that, yeah, art can be political, but I think it should also be not political. If I think we should make room for art that's not political, and if you don't choose to absorb that, that's fine. And I think that you should look at yourself as a consumer and say, you know, hey, if I'm not interested in apolitical art, that's cool. Like, I'm not advocating for people to consume anything or not consume anything. I'm looking for people to kind of, I'm advocating for people to consume what interests them and what they think is good and what's of quality and what speaks to them. And to be able to do that regardless of the politics of it. And to make those choices for themselves. I think this is the thing. Consumer empowerment and creator empowerment. If we say all art is political, that takes away creator and consumer agency. If art can be whatever it wants and consumers can consume as they want, we've got the power back.
We've got the power.
All right. See you later.